Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig, and I'm joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
Hello.
And this is... The Newcastle Natter has been going, I think, embarrassingly, I think it's been going for about 10 years without ever putting any effort into marketing it in any way, to such a degree that I hardly ever even tweet about it. It's like a secret side project. But it's been going for about 10 years, and this is very much the first time we've ever previewed a cup final game. You're both looking at me like you didn't know.
But no, I totally agree. I think, well, this is the biggest game in the last, 15 years?
It's so big that we all seem so stunned that we're incapable of bringing sentences together.
I'm a mess. Just think. We've still got 3 days to go, and I don't know. I'd quite like to get just put in an induced coma till Sunday afternoon.
I was saying to Paul, I'm oscillating between convincing myself why we're going to win, pessimistic that we're not going to win, and trying to be all mature and grown up and say it doesn't really matter because look where we were and look where we are now and look at the growth and, you know, all that kind of shit. Currently, my mental state at the minute is fucking pessimism. Like, real, this is going to crush me. Why do I put myself through it?
My mental state is I've just given into the fact that we're not going to win. That's where I've put myself. Maybe it's a self-protection mode, but at the moment, I do not have any hope in my body. Maybe this is not what people need to hear, but it's like, it's a kind of like defense mechanism, perhaps. I've just decided, well, yeah, and then I'm going to go and watch that game and that'll be nice. I'll have a few drinks, but, you know, we're going to lose. And then onwards. I'm not, if I had any hope, then I'd be nervous. But at the moment, I haven't allowed any hope to creep in because I've just decided that Marcus Rashford is undefeatable at the moment. Although, as we record, he may be losing to Barcelona.
Yeah, I've let the hope creep back in. I'm changing every day between complete pessimism and now I'm just like, I mean, the thing to remember, the only Premier League team that's beaten us this season is Liverpool. So it's not like we're not going into it as complete underdogs. We are a decent team and we've got Bruno back. So I don't know. One day I'll be like that and then the next day I'm like, man, you just are in ridiculously good form. But then they're playing on Thursday night and then Sunday. Like, between our last game and the final, they've had two extra games of football.
Yeah. And you got to bear in mind that the two games that we lost against Liverpool, I think the first one we were seconds away from not losing to Liverpool and getting the draw. And the second one, the most recent one, I mean, but for, what, 20 minutes, we were the better side. Even with 10 men after Pope got sent off, we were still the better side. We were playing good football. We had chances. We hit the bar. We were better. We were better than them. And that's why I keep going from A to B to C. It's like, well, who the fuck has really put us to the sword this season? Nobody. We've gone toe to toe with Man City. We were the only team to take points off Arsenal at the Emirates. Liverpool beat us, but didn't really deserve to. Second time, it's one of those games where just fucking weird shit happened. But apart from nobody's really had our number. So going into this game against Man U, we can absolutely Newcastle United of this season can beat Man U of this season.
David, you're putting hope into my body, and it doesn't want to be there.
Okay,
so I had a very workable game plan, and that was knowing that we would lose. I would like to end this podcast in the same state, please, because I don't want to start getting nervous.
All right, well, Pope's not playing and Loris Karius is. There you go. No Pope, no hope. Gone.
Well, let's talk about Pope. What were your... It's very sad that it happened, considering he's been such a force for us this season. He's been such a big part of what has got us to where we are, and yet he will not play in... Who knows where his career will go? It could be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, matches of his career, and he's not getting to play in it. What happened, and why did it happen?
Very hard to tell. It took me about 48 hours to stop loudly every little couple of hours just going like, what was he doing? I just found it was a proper kind of funk afterwards of just not believing what happened. I think looking back at it, I think the wind must have played a part. It was a long ball from Alisson. Salah was running onto it. Pope came out, as he always does and as he's very good at, misjudged the flight of the ball, went to head it about an inch from the ground. He hit the ground and then it sort of bounced near his arms, and then he just instinctively grabbed it.
You
immediately feel sorry for him and think, what the hell are you doing?
That's not quite what happened, though, is it, Dave? That's not my interpretation of it.
Oh.
Well, I kind of agree with Paul. There was a long ball through to Salah. Pope comes racing miles off his line. I'm not sure if he... Well, he certainly misjudged the flight of the ball, but I don't believe that there was any... I don't think the wind moved it out. I think he just made a terrible decision.
I only say the wind because there was a Sean Longstaff sort of similar situation later in the game, like another one of those massive long balls, and he completely missed the header, which made me think possibly. Look, but yeah, Karen, sorry.
It could have been that, but either way, he misjudged his reaction to that long ball because he could have, instead of going for the head, like you say, 6 inches off the ground, just stick your boot through it, or chest it, do something other than try and head the ball when it's 6 inches off the ground. Then when he's on the ground, he's kind of falling forwards with his hands in front of his face, and the ball's kind of in that area, and it's when he gathers. I think if he doesn't gather it, it's a yellow card, because he wasn't the last man, so I think it's a yellow card. But he just gathers the ball up, and that's it.
The point I wanted to make was that the ball hits his arm before he gathers it.
Yeah, it did.
The ball hits his arm.
Yeah.
So then it's out of his control, I think. It's total muscle memory.
Yeah.
It's something that happens once every 10 games or less. A few times in your career that'll happen, and it's just an instinctive thing. He's a goalkeeper who's
whose entire job is to
gather the ball with his arms. It's just like muscle memory.
Yeah.
The good thing is our second choice goalkeeper is available unless we draw one team in the country who's already played for in that competition.
No, it's such a bizarre set of circumstances. Cup tied means you can't play it.
Cup tied, yeah. If Dubravka had gone on to, well, yeah, it doesn't matter. Even if he'd gone, if he'd moved to Everton,
yeah,
he's played in that competition for a other side. If Manchester United win, Martin Dubravka gets a winner's medal. If Newcastle United win, he does not.
That is true.
Do you think that will be in his mind?
Just for that game, he should sit on the Man U bench.
It's a quiz question in like 10 years' time. Who was the only Newcastle player to win a League Cup winner's medal in 2023? Or, the reverse of it. It is what it is. And then you've obviously, that issue is compounded by, so second choice goalkeeper can't play because he's cup tied. Third choice goalkeeper, Carl Darlow's off on loan to Hull, so he can't play. So you're stuck with a choice between Mark Gillespie, who's never played a Premier League game in his life, or Loris Karius, who didn't have the best performance in a cup final, shall we say? So.
I would say that. It's actually the best position that it could happen in. A lot of people might disagree, but I think it's the best position it could happen in. And although Karius is the best example, it happens to be the goalkeeper who is the best example against the argument that I'm about to make. I think in most football matches, the goalkeeper is not the most influential player on the pitch and doesn't come close to it. I think the most likely outcome in the game is that Karius will have to make some saves that Nick Pope would have made, and he will probably be able to make. There'll be a percentage difference in terms of how good they would be in that moment. But, how many shots on target are there in a game, and what is the percentage difference between, like, the quality of keepers?
I
think if he has another Champions League final moment where it all goes to shit for him, then yes. I mean, like I say.
I think just in defence of Karius as well, I weirdly think he is the best keeper for us to field if we can't field Pope. Like, there's a reason we upgraded Dubravka, and it is he can't really play that sweeper keeper role. So if Dubravka was starting, we would have to play a sort of deeper defence. We suddenly can't press all over the way we do. Karius, for all his faults in that final, is a very good sweeper keeper. So it means a lot more continuity for the team than there otherwise would have been. And also, that Champions League final, he was concussed. So it's sort of... I think people kept taking the piss out of a bad day you had at work and you were concussed that day, you'd be within your rights to say, I think you're being a little bit harsh.
And hopefully he goes into it with... Hopefully this is his own personal redemption story.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at what we've done for Joe Linton, what we've done for Almiron. Longstaff after fashion, like, we are the club that gives people redemption stories. Look what we're doing for Saudi Arabia. I mean,
yeah.
So to build on that, yes, Pope's not going to be there, but I think what's been proven in the last few games, how reliant we are on Bruno Guimarães, who's going to be back. And I think that's, you were saying, who's the most influential? You'd have to say for Newcastle United, it's Bruno. If Bruno's playing, everybody plays a little bit better. Trippier will be a little bit better. And I'm not going to list them all. Everybody will be a little bit better.
I think even generally, like, if Bruno plays, we don't lose. If Bruno doesn't play, we don't win. That's like the stats for this season.
Our form has been pretty bad of late, even before Bruno got suspended. I think our form has been deceptively bad. And I'm not talking like relegation form or anything, but in comparison to the way it was in the lead up to the World Cup.
Yeah.
At every game since Boxing Day has not been great. We were, and our, what we were doing, we were never conceding and very low scoring side. But we seem to have, the clean sheets have dried up, but the goals still haven't arrived yet.
Yeah.
I think both of those are sort of down to the same thing. Just the intensity of our pressing has dropped off just a little bit. I think hopefully that's just down to players subconsciously having one eye on the cup final and not wanting to get injured. I would hope. Because you look at the Leicester game, the cup game, we were amazing then. So we have been able to do it post the World Cup, the Leicester Cup game.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah. Tell me about it, Paul. I was there.
And we were really good against Fulham as well. I mean, we only won 1-0. And to be honest, I'm not going to get into it too deep, but if you look at how our performance metrics have stacked up again, like post-World Cup versus pre-World Cup, they're pretty similar. Like, there is a little bit of a drop-off, but in terms of how many chances we're making, where we're playing on the pitch, what our passing percentages are, what our pressing's like, it's all very, very similar. It's just that we've been pretty unfortunate in front of goal. We've missed some fucking sitters, but I'm not concerned about the performance in the league. I think we're fine. We just need to, like, Bruno to come back, Wilson to find a bit of form and his fitness, because he's been in and out of the side, Isaac to play alongside Bruno for a bit. So, bigger picture, I'm not really worried about this dip in form.
Okay, well, let's have a break now and then just continue to talk about the biggest game of our lives. We'll predict the lineups, say what lineups we think we should have, perhaps predicts. No, I can't finish that sentence. All right, let's have a break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. Good break, guys.
Lovely.
Super. Super.
So we were talking before about our performance levels, and Dave, you were saying that the metrics haven't actually been that bad of late. We are struggling to put the ball in the back of the bloody net, which, may I remind you, is the aim of the game.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't like that. I do not like this.
You start Callum Wilson in the Carabao Cup final on Sunday, Dave Watson?
Yes. Yes, I do. Do you want me to expand on that? Or
yes, please. Yeah.
So essentially, it's because I think this could be the biggest game of Callum Wilson's career. I think that he's still got something to prove. He's still an excellent striker. He's still, I don't know, he puts away a good number of the chances that fall to him.
Yeah.
Isaac is not there yet. He hasn't really shown like a real predatory nature. I think he's got bags of potential. I think he can certainly learn it. He certainly gets in the right positions and stuff, but there hasn't been that. He just doesn't seem as clinical. And I don't think we're going to get a lot of chances against Man U. And I think we have to rely on the most reliable player, most reliable striker we've got.
To my memory, it doesn't feel like Callum Wilson is missing a lot of chances. He's just not getting a lot of chances, right, Paul?
He's not getting in the same positions as Isak, but he's not looked fit, even when he's been fit enough for selection. He's looked off the pace. You sort of worry about him having been out with an injury and coming back. I think it'll come down to training, like who looks sharpest. I think for Isak as well, his first game against Liverpool, I think he did look clinical. And he's basically a goal every other game when Bruno's in the team. So I think his current dry run is a bit unfortunate. There's been no creativity in our midfield, so it's not that surprising.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's also a genuine selection headache. And I keep changing my mind. Part of me thinks if Wilson's fit enough to start, you start with him and have Isak on the left.
Oh, I was mid-nod.
Do you want to give us your... not the lineup you predict, but the lineup you would choose?
I don't know. Part of me, my main dilemma at the minute, it's a shame in a way that St. Maximin looked so good against Liverpool, because it makes it harder not to start him. I think we will need to be all over Man U and pressing them like we press teams at the start of the season. And he's just not capable of that. I think the amount of space we leave in behind, we have to be... Like the way he didn't stop Trent Alexander-Arnold's ball for the red card.
Mm.
You just see... I worry about him, but he was unbelievable against Liverpool. And you look back at the Man City game where he was unplayable in that as well.
Yeah.
But then his two best performances, we've taken 1 point, he did 5 goals in those two games. I think Eddie Howe, if everyone's fit enough, names that team that's been pretty much in every round, and you have Willock and Joe Linton swapping between left forward and centre mid.
Yeah, my that would be my choice. My choice would be playing that sort of quite conservative lineup that we've had for most of the season, of Bruno, Willock and Longstaff in the middle, with Joe Linton on the left with Wilson and Almiron. Because I think that team has proven to have done very well this season. We have, for most of the season, been provably a very difficult side to beat. And that has mainly been with that side. And we're up against, in Man U, a side who are on form, who are probably player for player a better side than us. We are underdogs. So doesn't mean that Saint-Maximin or Isak, or I mean, I suppose those are the two, aren't they? Or Anthony Gordon can't play a big part in the final.
Well, Gordon can't play. But yeah.
But, Gordon can't play, can he?
No, cup tied.
Okay, so I think that the key thing is I would like to go in at half-time level. I don't want to lose the game in the first half like we did against Liverpool. I want to still be in it with 60 minutes played. And then if we need to, we can start bringing on attacking players. But
I think as well, like recent games where we've brought on Saint-Maximin, that's been bringing on Saint-Maximin, who's not been up to match speed. I think he's a much more dangerous substitute now that he's got a few games under his belt. He has improved every game, and it would be very hard to drop him when he was our best player. But I don't think Eddie Howe is the sort of person to go, I think this will be worse for the team, but I have to pick him because he had a good game.
I think he is a big moment player as well, isn't he? He's always given his biggest performances against the big sides on Super Sunday or whatever. And I think this will probably be the, I don't know what he did in France, but this will probably be the biggest match for him. And coming off the bench, he'd have a lot to prove.
I think also just in terms of the questions that you posed to the back line of Man U, I think Wan-Bissaka is a decent defender, but he's not so good that putting Willock up against him is a waste of time because he'll pocket Willock. I think Willock's good enough to pose Aaron Wan-Bissaka problems. I think Alan St-Maximum is by orders of magnitude more likely to cause him problems, but I'd rather St-Maximum running at a tired Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because Willock is, he's fast, he's dynamic, he will cause a lot of problems.
Perhaps he's lost that reputation, but I've heard it said that Wan-Bissaka is the best one-on-one defender in the league.
That used to be what they said about him, wasn't it? After,
yeah,
even in his sort of Palace days. It's where he's had a bit of a redemption arc since Ten Hag came in. I think a lot of the Man U fans completely wrote Wan-Bissaka off. Mm. And now he's sort of guaranteed starting right back. It's annoying. I wish this game was happening a few months ago when we were just in much better form and Man U looked quite dodgy.
One thing I would say is the height. Height could be a huge weapon in our arsenal. If you look at the average height of our team, we've got some absolute fucking giants. We should be peppering their back line with set pieces and all the rest of it, because
I feel like I'm being a real negative Nelly here, but that's not something that's been a big part of our season, is it? Because that is true. We do have a height advantage, and we do also have one of the best set piece takers in the league.
Our set pieces lately have been really bad.
Have we scored?
Burn hit the bar against Liverpool.
Yeah, we've had a few chances where the person running onto it has either put it a little bit. We have been making chances. We just haven't been putting them away. But that's true of our midfield and our attack. We've just been struggling to put it away. I think against Man U, we are. I mean, we've got plenty of big lads, so it becomes like ridiculous if you don't aim for the, you know, loft one into the back stick for somebody to nod down. If you don't whip balls in at head height for the big lads to jostle and battle for, it might not be sexy football, but It's a weapon in our arsenal, and we'd be ridiculous if we didn't use it.
I feel like Trippier's delivery the last few games has dropped off quite a bit. And also, it feels like every game you have Fabian Scher getting a free header from a corner, and just there's a lot of 50p heads going on. It would be nice if it could all click on Sunday.
If the best happens and we find ourselves in injury time, and we're ahead, what do you think the percentage chances that Jamal Lascelles gets booked for messing with one of their throws?
Oh, if we go ahead, we will shithouse for the rest of the game.
Like, that would be the dream.
We will, you know, Joe Linton will 100% pull up with cramp. So will Sean Longstaff. You will see Alan St-Maximum limping off or limping over to the end of it, like the line.
Andy Murray.
Andy Murray. Like we definitely will. There will be, yeah. But then that's what we're going to have to do. So fine. I would take a shit out 1-0 win where it was a dive to win a penalty that we somehow got. I'll take it.
So where are you going to watch the game, Dave?
I'm going up north. I'm going to watch it with friends.
Myself and Paul, we're going to watch the game in London, in the very city where the game is taking place. Still cannot get a ticket.
No.
I I think deep down, I thought someone was going to come through for me. I thought
Niall Ranger.
Yeah, he's selling them.
If you missed this, if you missed this on Twitter, Niall Ranger is flogging what are presumably tout tickets for the final at absurd over a grand prices.
Mm.
So,
did you see the follow up when somebody called him out on it? He said, complaining about selling tickets, shouldn't you care more about Syria and Turkey?
He's got them there. I'm going to use that for everything in life.
Yes, everything. Shoplifted from Boots. Yeah. What about Syria and Turkey?
Hey, Jesus.
It's not really remedial what about me.
Yeah.
I really thought, I thought, I've been in the game a long time. And somebody somewhere, surely a friend of a friend knows someone at Morphy Richards and they've got a box.
Always Morphy Richards with you, isn't it?
Know, they've always been the funniest brand to me. But I thought there'd be something, do you know what I mean?
Oh.
I've managed to get myself in. I've been to a Carabao Cup final before. But it was a Carabao Cup final between two teams I did not give a shit about.
That's it. I think you've got two fan bases who do give quite a shit about this one. Hmm. Man U more. I think if we were playing Man City, I don't think their fans would give nearly as much of a shit.
No. Have you seen that the trains from Manchester to Newcastle? You can have a drink on, but the trains from Newcastle to...
Oh, from London to Manchester.
Yeah, sorry. From London to Manchester, you can have a drink if you want. LNER, down from Newcastle to London, dry trains, not allowed to have a drink.
Well, I don't think that's the worst decision.
I don't know. I don't like all this.
Racism.
Just treating football fans like they're going to be arseholes.
I mean,
they don't do it for the rugby. They only do it for the football. The rugby fans are worse.
If the unthinkable happens and we win, would you like launch yourself over towards like Trafalgar Square to be part of the big celebrations that, you know, might spill over there? Would you try and get up to Wembley to be part of that lot? Or would you hop on a train?
I think we just end up vibing it. I think we just...
I'd go to King's Cross and make the train wet.
Oh, man, you are winning 2-1. Live update.
You don't want to be celebrating around Wembley. That'll just be...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Trafalgar Square or... I mean, we're watching it in the Geordie Dome. In...
That's what I call my bald head.
Which is a bar in London that's been commandeered for the day.
Yeah. We're still not 100% certain we're watching it in there. The ticketing situation's weird. But if you follow the London Newcastle Supporters Club, there's a lot of very good information on there about where's showing the games for Newcastle fans. It is worth having a look at.
I am getting quite excited now.
Yeah.
For me, it's always the... in the lead up to a sporting event that I really care about, it's not the misery of a loss. I can see him, I can visualize the winning moment and how I'll feel.
Mm.
So losing is the absence of that. Do you know what I mean? It's not devastating to lose. It's just really sad to miss out on. I can feel myself being so happy and yet it is denied.
I think what would be the most gutting thing, which is what happened against Liverpool, it's mad to think of it. Like, if you think how used we were to this feeling, Sunday was the first time we've thought, oh, well, that's game over then in the first half of a game. We've not had that this season.
And to be honest, though,
mental.
It wasn't game over.
No, it shouldn't have been.
No, but in retrospect, like we could and should have equalized, not just got one back. We should have fucking equalized. I think. So I said it before that this feels different to the two FA Cup finals and the quarterfinals in the European competitions. The semi-final, well, not the semi-final against Chelsea, but the two FA Cup finals in the late 90s and the Europeans, where I have no doubt that the players going into this game will be pumped up based on how we've taken on board everything that Eddie Howe sets his team up to be. We are shithouses. We will put in a hell of a lot of effort. We will, you know, press a lot all over the pitch. So whatever happens, I don't think we're going to be humiliated. I don't think, like I said, no team has had our number. No team has absolutely like battered us. I'm confident that we won't get fucked in the arse. I'm confident. I just don't know if that's going to be enough to win.
I wake up every day confident that I won't get fucked in the
I wish I shared your confidence.
The last time we played Man U was in October. It was a 0-0. They're a very different side. Ten Hag's good, isn't he? He's going to end up managing Barcelona or something, isn't he?
We sort of think a lot of their change as well. It's just come down to getting rid of Ronaldo and bringing in Casemiro.
I think the work that Erik ten Hag has done is really impressive. I think he is a very, very good coach. I still see weaknesses in that Man U side. I still think you can get at them. Yeah, I still think that they're...
No, totally. It's not like they've suddenly turned into a dominant force. They're not the finished product. But it's a bit like when Arteta got rid of Aubameyang. That's when things started changing for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And they still have a long way to go. But that was a defining moment. And Ten Hag getting rid of Ronaldo was the same.
They're still in the title race as well, I would say, this season.
Yeah. I was just looking at the game at Old Trafford, the 0-0. Joe Linton hit the bar twice. You know, we were decent in that game. No, we didn't get the win, but we could have won it. So, yeah, I still think we are. We're going to go into it. We're going to give it our best. And I think that if we play to our best, even if they don't play, if they play anything less than their best against our best, we'll win.
Yeah. I think we'll actually be in quite a luxury position of having genuine game changers on the bench as well.
Mm.
Whether that's Willock, whether that's St. Maximin, whether that's Isak or Wilson.
Jacob Murphy.
He'll get on because it's a Newcastle game.
The meme. He'll get on and do something ridiculous.
So, what? Are we going to do predictions? I feel like I don't want to do predictions. Should we not? Should we give ourselves dispensation from doing predictions? Because...
No, let's not be cowards.
Okay. All right, okay. Go on, Dave. Do a prediction.
Fuck, I'm going to have to go first. 0-0 after full time, and they'll win in extra time. 1-0.
Cool.
I'm going to go 1-0 Longstaff. Yeah.
That's good.
The dream.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm gonna go 2-0 Man U.
I just
think it's the most likely outcome. And it's part of my defense mechanism.
It'll be interesting to I'm never sure. I feel like a lot of the time when we're previewing games, we're quite often saying, well, they only played a few days ago, so they'll be tired. And it feels like that quite often fails to materialize. It would be interesting to see what sort of effect the Barcelona game has on them. And by interesting, I mean shit scary.
I think for quite a while we've had a bit of a pattern where we are really good in the first, well, particularly home games, and I wonder whether it might feel like a bit of a home game for a bit because the atmosphere will just be so huge from the Newcastle fans. For the first 3 or 4 minutes, we always create a couple of chances. We're always raring to go right at the beginning.
Mm.
And then quite often it falls apart quite quickly. But yes, I predict we'll get a chance in the first 3 minutes.
As long as the chance falls to, you know, Wilson or Bruno rather than Joe Linton or Sean Longstaff.
I mean, Sean Longstaff did score 2 in the semi-final, so
yeah, sure. But those who are just
almost predicted he's going to get the goal that wins the game.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be
in the third minute, and then we will waste 180 minutes.
It would be perfect. Longstaff and Burn getting the goals.
Oh, that would be good.
All right. There's not much to say. I mean, it's just
terrifying.
I think we should all just endeavour to control the controllables. We can't affect the outcome of this game unless you are lucky enough to be going to Wembley. Perhaps you can. But all we can do is try and have a lovely day and enjoy it because it's not.
Are you my mum?
Yes. It's not that. Drink water.
What's he got to do?
Drink water, Slade.
If you feel like you've had too much, slow down a bit, maybe have a soft drink. But just remember, it's not that long ago that a day such as this seemed like it might never happen. So try and enjoy it because it might never happen again because maybe it's a whole house of cards and it will all fall apart.
You never know.
You never
know. This time next year, every Premier League team will be state-owned. So we will have no advantage.
Well, it depends on who the state is. If it ends
Finland.
Up being, yeah, if it ends up being like a Eurovision sweepstake.
Which state would you most like us to be owned by?
The United Kingdom, mate.
Yeah.
Fair Norway.
Enough. No, he means it.
Well, Norway, I've got oil. Good joke, Paul. I got it.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Norway have got oil.
They've got a sovereign wealth fund.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll look into it. I'll see if I can make it
happen. See if you can make that happen.
Right. It's descending into nothing now. I'm sure we'll have a podcast, hopefully early next week. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about. And hopefully,
mainly where we're going to be for the Open Top Parade.
Well, I already know I won't be there. I won't travel up for the. Would you travel up for the parade?
Yeah,
you've got family there, haven't you?
Yeah,
I would angle grind the roof off my car and drive around Southeast London with a foil cup.
I lived in brown ale. I lived in Manchester when Man U won the treble. And it was a very fun night, the night that they won the Champions League, because just the atmosphere was amazing on the streets. And then a couple of days later, I went to see the film Notting Hill with my girlfriend. Very feel-good movie. Went to see it during the day. Walked out of the cinema in the centre of Manchester, and everyone was in the streets dancing because it was the it was the Open Top Bus Parade, but I had forgotten that that was happening. So there was like a full 5 seconds where I was just like, people dancing on bus tops.
Did you just think it was a really strong reception to Notting Hill?
I honestly just, it was such a feel-good movie. I walked out and I was like, oh, this is the way life is now. Everyone's
happy. Richard Curtis took over Manchester.
Well, let's hope that there are no parades forthcoming in Manchester soon. Okay. Let's leave it there. Thank you very much, Dave Watson.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Paul Doolan.
Thank you.
Thank you to you, the Newcastle Natter listener. Enjoy the day. Goodbye.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.